This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking about your good health today. Dr. Albert Katine is with us from Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, and we're going to be talking about skin conditions. He is a dermatologist there. Dr. Katine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
And do they think enough about their skin? I mean, skin problems can be quite dangerous if you do nothing about it.
That's correct. And May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and it is important to be aware of your skin, because skin cancer can be preventable if you take the right steps.
What are the right steps? Don't ever go outside.
The main thing is to be aware of your skin and to check your skin monthly for things that don't look right, areas that aren't healing or that are changing, that have been there, or something you don't recognize. So being aware of your skin is an important step in checking for skin cancer.
Are people today, especially young people, because I guess a lot of the problems that we have with our skins were created when we were young. Do young people today take better care of themselves than, say, a baby boomer?
Well, I don't know if they do or not, but I think that it's important that they start at a young age and their parents help coach them to be more aware of their skin and to take good care of their skin. So, of course, by the time sun damage and skin changes show up, you're already about at least 10 years behind the game. So starting at an early age is important to be aware and to protect your skin from the sun.
I guess a lot of people think that it really looks cool to have a dark suntan, and I can remember growing up, that was the in thing. Is that dangerous?
Well, you know, it's interesting how things have changed over time. You know, in the very old days, it used to be important to be very white, and yes, as times have changed, it's been cool to have a tan and to look dark, but that is definitely bad for you. There's no such thing as a good or a safe tan, and it's not good to get that base tan that everybody thinks is helping to protect them either.
So even if you go to, say, one of those sunbeds, are those as dangerous or more dangerous than the sun?
Well, they're probably equally dangerous. Some people may say more dangerous. All ultraviolet radiation, which is the same thing that's in the tanning beds, is bad for you and causes cumulative damage to the skin. Your skin remembers all of the ultraviolet light you've gotten throughout your lifetime, whether it be from a tanning bed or from the sun. So it's important to avoid tanning beds. And I think the dangers of tanning beds have become increasingly more well-known over time, and that's why, you know, initially it was thought that would be a safe type of thing, but as time has gone on, you know, we've found out otherwise.
So the best thing to do is to try to protect yourself from ultraviolet rays, is that right?
That's correct. So starting at a very young age, you want to put on your sunscreen. You want to put it on about 30 minutes before you go out. You want to reapply it every 2 hours if you're outside for a prolonged period of time. If you're sweating a lot or if you're getting in and out of the water, you also want to reapply immediately after that. And while you're outside during peak sun hours, 10 to 4, you want to seek shade. And you also want to combine different types of protective measures, such as broad-brimmed hats, long sleeves, sunglasses. You may not look very cool, but you'll be protecting your skin.
You could create a new cool look there. Now, I have heard that different skin colors make it easier for you to protect yourself from the sun. For example, African Americans are not as susceptible, or this may be a wives' tale. That's what I'm wondering. Can they have sun problems too?
They sure can. You know, having more pigment in your skin is protective. So blue-eyed redheads are going to be more susceptible to ultraviolet radiation than darker-skinned peoples, Asians and African Americans. But they still need to take precautions as well. We certainly see skin cancers and some of the more deadly kinds, like melanoma, in darker-skinned people.
So nobody's safe.
Everybody should take protective measures, yes.
Now, when you say put suntan screen on, or sunscreen on, what is the strength that we should... is there a normal strength that we should all at least use this or higher?
I generally recommend using an SPF 30 or higher, and I always say, I tell my patients, the higher the better, because some of the ratings of the sunscreens are based on the thickness of the application, and so I like to use a higher sunscreen, and I like ones with the ingredients zinc and titanium dioxide, mm-hmm. and they make them now so you don't have to have that thick white coating look. It makes you look like a ghost.
Now, what about youngsters? Young children, and even babies, are they more at risk? Is their skin more tender than older persons?
Yes, babies especially are very susceptible to the sun's rays, and so up to 6 months of age, they should be pretty much strictly kept protected and covered and out of the sun. After that, you should be pretty aware of using good sunscreen, same as adults, same rules to follow there.
Now, about this time of the year, when we start thinking about doing things outside, whether it's swimming or walking on the greenway or anything that puts us outside in the sun, we start thinking about, I need to protect myself. You're talking about ultraviolet rays. Aren't they about the same all year long? I mean, we could be in danger in December.
Well, it is important to protect yourself year-round, so you should apply your sunscreen every day. Of course, the sun's rays are a little more damaging during the spring and summer than in fall and winter, but the American Academy of Dermatology recommends applying your sunscreen every day regardless, and follows guidelines of putting it on half an hour before going out, because the sunscreen needs a chance to bind to the skin. And then by 2 hours later, most sunscreens have worn off.
Oh, so in 2 hours you need to reapply.
You do, and the first reapplication is usually the most important one, because that's the one that's going to get you through the bulk of your peak sun hours.
Now, at Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, you have something called the U-MetaSpa. What is that?
U-MetaSpa is a medical spa that we started to help. We do some cosmetic things there, such as lasers and Botox and the fillers and all those things. But we also want to promote healthy skin care, good skin care habits. And we do free consultations. We go over good skin care routines. And we also use some different topical treatments that can help you reverse sun damage, as well as laser treatments to help reverse the signs of sun damage. And we just try to help everybody get into a good routine and help them improve things that they may have already, the damage they may have already incurred from the sun's rays.
Are skin problems hereditary? I mean, if you have an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a parent who has obviously skin problems, you may not know what they are, but you know there's something different about them. Are those inherited?
Well, some skin problems are inherited, such as eczema and psoriasis have a hereditary basis, and there's some other hereditary skin diseases. Your tendency for skin cancer, melanoma skin cancer, has a more stronger link to tied to heredity. Then, of course, you inherit your skin type, which makes you more or less susceptible to the sun, and in those ways, heredity plays a factor. But otherwise, I'd say probably 90% of skin cancer is more linked to ultraviolet radiation.
Mm. So you don't have to, even if you say, I don't have any family members that I know of who've had melanoma, that doesn't puts you out of the picture at all.
No, it doesn't, and because ultraviolet radiation causes changes in moles and skin cells that can lead to melanoma and other types of skin cancer.
And these are usually things that you've done wrong earlier in life that are popping up now.
Usually what happens is you get a certain accumulated amount of sun exposure throughout your lifetime, and after you cross a certain threshold, the skin fails to repair itself, and if those skin cells are not removed by your body in some way, those cells go bad and become a cancer.
We hear about rosacea and things of that sort. What are some of the, I guess, the most prevalent skin diseases that you see here in Murfreesboro at the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic?
Well, we certainly see a broad range of skin diseases. Rosacea is one of those that tends to be more hereditary. We see all kinds of skin problems, skin cancer, acne, warts, all kinds of eczema, psoriasis, and pretty much the full gamut.
So acne is not always young people going through growing up.
Well, acne is, there's acne, and which is like teenage acne, and there's also adult acne, which is rosacea. And they say that regular acne is lasting more and more into adulthood, maybe due to some environmental concerns.
Is any of this related to our diet?
That's another circular argument. you know, when I was young, acne was dietary, eating fried foods, drinking soft drinks, those kinds of things. But that's kind of gone by the wayside, although they're trying to resurrect that line of thinking.
That's the parents trying to do that.
It could be, trying to get them to eat a healthy diet. But rosacea is more dietary linked because there are certain, although it's a hereditary condition, certain environmental factors do adversely affect it, such as caffeine and hot and spicy foods, alcoholic beverages, and then exertion, embarrassment, sunlight, emotional factors, those kinds of things can aggravate rosacea.
On the way in this morning, I was listening to our morning news, and it was talking about a new study that was showing that if you got normal amounts of sleep, if you went to sleep when you were sleepy and woke up after you had relaxed and reduced your amount of intake of caffeine, that you would be a whole lot healthier. It just seems like if you listen to all of these things that are being suggested, there is a thread that seems to tie them all together. The thought of caffeine comes up again. And I would guess if we talked long enough, you'd probably bring in smoking with it. Does that have any effect on skin?
Well, actually, caffeine may have some beneficial effects to your health as well. But, you know, as my father used to say, everything in moderation. But, you know, smoking definitely has detrimental effects to your health all the way around. I don't know if any studies out there that show a benefit. I know that in the early days of cigarettes, they used to have all these ads with even physicians promoting smoking for your health, but I think those have kind of gone by the wayside. But smoking's bad for your health all the way around, including your skin. It does promote more wrinkling and less effective repair of the skin when damage occurs.
People these days, especially the baby boomers, are looking for ways to stay young. That fountain of youth, at least to look like it. Are there things that can be done to keep your skin healthier? What should we be doing to keep them healthy?
Well, I'll start off with the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so, you know, so the earliest step is the sun avoidance and protection with sunscreen, SPF 30 or higher. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there are various creams, alpha hydroxy acids, the retin-As that can help reverse some of the signs of sun damage and help your skin repair a little bit. And then we also have various lasers that can remove the signs, but none of these things necessarily prevent the occurrence of skin cancer, even if your skin looks better.
So if you have, when you say skin cancer, are those noticeable as brown splotches on your skin, what are you looking for?
Well, skin cancer is usually divided into melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancer. Non-melanoma skin cancers are basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas, and basal cell is most common, squamous cell the second most common, And these are, you know, if detected early, rarely spread, easily curable. They will leave a scar, and so you want to detect them early. You look for a non-healing place or a place that's changing on your skin. Most of the time, you know what your moles look like, you know what warts look like, and little harmless places. But if something's doing something unusual, if it's bleeding easily, like when you're drying or washing your face, if something is in a sun-exposed area, especially, but not exclusively, and if something's just changing, it doesn't look right, you should get it checked out, and the sooner the better.
So these are obvious things. I mean, almost like you've been hit on the head with a tuba for, and you, if you don't notice it, your head's in the sand.
Well, people have to be aware of their skin, so they should check their skin about monthly and look for things that are different or unusual. It's hard to watch your back, so if you have some help from a spouse or significant other, someone who can look at it for you and check for changes, that's important also.
And these are, again, obvious. I mean, you don't have to really look hard. You can see them.
Well, a lot of people like to make excuses for things, you know, like
maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, or like, oh, I know, I hit myself on my hand there, and I'm like, how long ago was that? And somebody was like, 10 years. If it doesn't heal in a reasonable amount of time, it should be checked.
Okay. Is there a certain age that we should see a dermatologist on a regular basis?
Well, I don't think there are any set guidelines. Some of it depends on your family history. If someone has a family history of melanoma, which is the most deadly form of skin cancer, but if someone has a family history of melanoma, all immediate family members should be checked. That includes children, parents, and siblings. So that's the most important thing. Once you have skin cancer, you should get checked on a regular basis. And, you know, a lot of people could use a baseline examination just to check and see, make sure everything's okay, and so they can keep an eye out going forward.
Okay, so pretty regular basis, especially if you have melanoma in your family.
Right, or a history of any skin cancer.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and the next segment is when we open up the phone lines. So if you have any questions, give us a call. 893-1450. The doctor is in, and he's here to answer your questions. Dr. Albert Katine with us today from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. 893-1450. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Where to start? Ask if this love runs deep in me. You won't find a deeper love.
This is Kix Brooks from Brooks & Dunn, and you're listening to WGNS Talk Radio, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Only in America.
Need better gas mileage? Swap your ride at Ford of Murfreesboro and buckle into a Ford Focus Electric, a regular Ford Focus, a Fiesta, or a Ford Transit Electric and get up to 40 miles per gallon. Or get 104 miles per gallon with the Fusion Hybrid Electric. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro on Broad at Northfield or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. We've got an accident on the east side of town. It's involving injuries. I-40 eastbound at Old Hickory Boulevard could cause problems for our folks coming out of Rutherford County into Davidson County this morning. Also, lots of congestion I-24 westbound around the Old Hickory Boulevard, Bell Road area. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant has been voted the best Mexican restaurant since 1990. Stop by for lunch or dinner online at LasPalmasMXRest.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Partly sunny skies across the forecast area for today. Highs will be in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 57 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Andy Valuber. Right now, 61.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me. Weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
We're talking about problems and issues with your skin. Dr. Albert Katina is with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, and let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Katina. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
We're doing great, thank you.
I have psoriasis.
Okay. Did you have a question dealing with psoriasis?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to know what should you do for it.
All righty. What about that? And hold on, because he may have some questions for you.
Well, psoriasis, well, it depends on the extent and locations of your psoriasis and how it affects your daily life. You know, there are various routines, such as starting with just topical treatments such as topical cortisones that you apply locally to the areas, and there's some other treatments such as more internal treatments if you have more extensive psoriasis or an arthritis that may be associated with your psoriasis.
Well, I got it's on my hands and feet and itchy all the time.
Yeah, so if it's more limited and localized, you might be a better candidate for a prescription-strength topical cortisone to those areas. Now, hands and feet tend to be very tough, and sometimes we need to work hard at them and get them finding the right routine for you to get it cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have somebody that you're seeing now?
Yes. So. Let's see, what's the name? Oh, Dr. Nelson.
Okay, so Dr. Nelson's a good doctor, and I'm sure he's taking good care of you. And so, you know, if psoriasis is, there's no cure for it, though, so it's going to be a come-and-go kind of thing. It usually gets a little better in the spring and summertime. So you know, if you're having a problem, you can check back with him, and I'm sure he'll take appropriate care of you.
Good luck to
you.
Thank you for calling. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Is there something who has a problem like psoriasis and sounds like stays with you pretty much forever? Can you change your lifestyle, take something out of your diet, or do this or that that would reduce the problem?
There have been stories of things that you can do, but nothing really proven. Some people think that using the omega-3 fatty acids or evening primrose oil can help some inflammatory skin conditions like psoriasis or eczema. But it's yet to really be shown. Vitamin A in high doses can also help psoriasis, but you have to be careful about that because you can't overdose on vitamin A and it does have side effects. So nothing definite dietary that you can do. Sunlight is one of the things that does improve psoriasis.
Sunlight. Okay.
And that's one of the, we do use ultraviolet booths for psoriasis, but that's one of the ways that you have to weigh between the health benefits and the health risks when you treat psoriasis.
So you have to be outside only for the right amount of time. If you're too much, well, how about putting on the the sun blocker. Does that sort of hide the sun and then negates the good effect?
It would for psoriasis. In general, it's best to use a physician-directed ultraviolet booth for psoriasis, mm-hmm. Because that way the bulbs are very regulated and you get a prescription amount of ultraviolet radiation that doesn't take away the risk that it has for causing skin cancer, though.
Are regions of the nation more prone to have certain skin problems than others? And if that is true, what are some of the conditions we have here in the South?
Well, in the South, you know, we do get more intense sun, so you do have to watch out, you know, more. You have to be more careful about actually following this the sunscreen application guidelines, and you may see more of the sun-related diseases, such as solar urticaria or polymorphous light eruption. I don't want to get into all the big names, but there are some sun-induced diseases that may be more prevalent in the South. And then, of course, you're going to have the benefit of producing more vitamin D. In the North, they used to say above the Mason-Dixon line, you have to be more careful about getting some sun to produce your vitamin D. But there are various new things coming out with all the awareness of vitamin D deficiency, about how much sun you need and how there may be genetic hereditary factors involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. So that's an ongoing, evolving area.
The disease that Michael Jackson had, and I don't recall what it was called.
Vitiligo.
And which is splotchy, white splotchy places on your skin. And that's not strictly toward dark-skinned persons, is it? I mean, anybody can have it.
Anybody can get vitiligo. It's an autoimmune-type disease that where the body basically attacks the pigment cells in your skin and you get white spots. It can be related to another group of autoimmune diseases. It can be related to a type of diabetes, thyroid disease, also a type of anemia called pernicious anemia, and another skin condition, because hair is part of the skin, where you can lose little coin-sized or bigger bald patches in your hair.
Hmm. Okay. Now, is that something that is related to food, not enough water, or does water have anything? I keep hearing physicians saying, "Drink enough water, drink water," and then I've heard others say that keeps your skin moist, keeps everything cleansed out in your body. Any truth to that?
Well, it's water is important to stay hydrated. Of course, like anything, overdoing it is bad for you. You can't have water intoxication, but unless you're severely dehydrated. You know, I personally don't think that there's any extra benefit to your skin. Now, you can hydrate the skin directly through the use of various moisturizers. And, you know, I like the alpha hydroxy acid type moisturizers and other similar types of products to help maintain a good hydration status for your skin.
Okay. This is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. May is. You mentioned that at the beginning of the program. And is skin cancer becoming a greater problem, or are we reducing skin cancer, or how are we standing? What's the score, I guess you could say?
Well, they say that skin cancer is definitely on the rise and that it's becoming an epidemic. Skin cancer is the most common type of cancer, and they say over the last 31 years, I think there's more skin cancer than all the other major types of cancer combined. So, you know, part of this may be due to increased awareness and increased screening and physicians finding more skin cancers. But it could also be due to the fact that, as we mentioned earlier, people are more interested in tanning. And so that's another major factor contributing to the rise of skin cancer. And I think that you know, we're seeing more legislation with regards to indoor tanning as well.
Your personal opinion on this. We hear so much about the food that we eat today having carcinogens, possibly, in them. Some of them, if it's an animal that we're eating, chickens, beef, things of that sort, having hormones injected into those animals so that they would grow more quickly. In plants, injecting things, putting things into the plants so that they would grow more quickly and be more abundant. Do you think that that is any part of why we're seeing such a massive increase in skin cancer?
Well, this is my personal opinion. I don't think it has to do with skin cancer. I think that the hormones and things in foods may contribute more to acne-type breakouts because, as you know, around puberty and when hormones change is when people are more prone to acne breakouts. And again, around menopause. So I think that, anything that changes hormones is going to make you more prone to that. But I don't think skin cancer, per se, is there's any contribution from foods there.
You mentioned when the young lady called us a little while ago, you mentioned something about arthritis. Is that tied to skin conditions? If you have arthritis or anything in that area of problems, which I guess comes oftentimes with age, are those related to skin problems?
Well, there are different types of arthritis, and some people with immune types of arthritis can have various rashes associated with them. However, psoriasis itself is associated with psoriasis up to about 30% of the time. So there are people who can have the arthritis of psoriasis without having any visible skin lesions, and there are people with minimal skin lesions who can also have psoriatic arthritis. And that can be a very debilitating and deforming arthritis over time, and it's something that should be, I think, should be addressed to preserve function of your joints.
So if you have certain forms of arthritis, you could be more prone to having skin problems. Am I hearing you right?
Yes. If you have, there are certain rashes that come up in association with rheumatoid arthritis and other types of arthritis, and there's some types of arthritis that come up in conjunction with psoriasis.
Do those make you more susceptible to skin cancer?
If you're treating your rashes with the ultraviolet light, then you will be more you'll have an increased risk of skin cancer there. But if you just having the rash in and of itself, no.
Okay. Now, ultraviolet lights, can you buy those for use? Do people ever accidentally get those and put them in their house and don't realize it, or is it a? I'm trying to think. What does an ultraviolet light look like?
Well, it looks like basically a fluorescent bulb, and they people certainly buy home tanning beds, and I don't think it's an accident, but
they just don't realize how dangerous it is.
Right, they don't, or there also there's some theories that ultraviolet light causes a stimulation similar to a runner's high, where sitting in a tanning bed can actually stimulate the release of endorphins that make you feel good, and so people have a positive reinforcement to seek out tanning beds or ultraviolet lights. Now, there are also home prescription ultraviolet lights for treatment of psoriasis and skin diseases that you can also buy with a prescription. Again, those are more regulated. They usually have to have a prescription to keep getting the amount of light refilled, and that amount of light is regulated closely.
I can remember something called a sun lamp, and it was an incandescent bulb that was a floodlight type bulb, and you see them sometimes. I think you see them sometimes in the heating elements in ceilings of hotels and things of that sort, where you turn them on, there's a timer on them. That may be an old hotel that still has it in there. Are those ultraviolet, or are those just heat coming out?
I think those are just heat. I don't think those are ultraviolet. The ultraviolet are usually fairly well regulated.
Okay. Are X-rays, things of that sort, infrared lights, are those dangerous?
Actually, those things are used to treat various conditions, and of course x-rays are used diagnostically in smaller doses than they used to be. Again, these things may be dangerous. X-rays, of course, people in hospitals wear the little tags that measure the amount of x-rays that they get, and you know, should take proper shielding because x-rays can cause cancer. Of course, it's also used for some curative and diagnostic things as well. Infrared, it depends on how it's being used and things. We use some infrared or near infrared. We use some near infrared light to do some beneficial cosmetic things in the skin mm-hmm. as well.
When we're talking about being subjected, having our bodies subjected to these things, I'm wondering, because I grew up in the broadcast business and I was always told, don't get near transmitters, antennas that have a real high frequency, where it is on the dial, so to speak. How many megahertz or whatever? Anything over 100 and something megahertz, and the higher, the worse. Is that still pretty much true, or was that a wives' tale?
Well, I think there's a lot of debate about that still. You know, you hear things about various types, not skin cancer, but I think brain cancers, you know, with certain frequencies of electromagnetic radiation. And I think there are arguments both ways on that, and nothing's concrete yet.
Is electromagnetic radiation similar to x-rays and things of that? Aren't they similar?
Well, they're all part of a spectrum, and you know, you think about, you hear all the stories about cell phones and as well as the high voltage power lines, and all those run along a spectrum.
So the court's still out on those. We don't know.
I think the court's still out. I'm having to reach here a little bit to get some to find some of this in the back of my brain.
Okay, our number is 893-1450. We're talking about issues that impact our lives. We're talking about keeping our skin healthy. We're talking about you staying younger looking. Because if you keep your skin healthy, you are going to stay younger looking. And most important, we're talking about you just feeling better about yourself. Dr. Albert Katine is with us. He's a dermatologist with the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. And if you have any questions about skin problems, skin issues, about exposure to sunlight, maybe you have a family that is prone to melanomas, call us, 893-1450. Would you like to learn more about the U MetaSpa that's available at the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic? 893-1450. We're going to check on the weather. If you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, WGNS, Murfreesboro. We cover Rutherford County. ABC News covers the world.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Poots Good Food and Fun Restaurant. With all the new restaurants in the community, I try to try them all out, and sure enough, many of them have fried pickles. But I'm proud to say no one does them like we do. They're light, they're crispy, and served with your choice of homemade ranch dressing or homemade blue cheese dressing. And we've been serving them now for 27 years. Come on down to Toots and get some fried pickles.
Toots, good food and fun. Toots, good food and fun.
Partly sunny skies across the forecast area for today. Highs will be in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 57 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Right now, 61.
Talk radio, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11. The Good Neighbor Network is on WGNS Murfreesboro.
About you, all rat race to car chase, trains in the station.
We are back again. Dr. Albert Katteen is with us this morning, and we're talking about skin issues. He's a dermatologist with the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. And let's go to the phones again. You're on WGNS with Dr. Katteen. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you all doing?
Doing great, thank you.
My question is concerning skin warts. I have a wart or two on my hand, and I've tried over-the-counter medicines that seem not to work. So what should I do? What type of treatment is available? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling. What about that?
Well, warts can be very tough. Warts are caused by human papillomavirus, and the wart virus gets into the skin cells and makes them grow. And you can treat them in a number of ways. They say that altogether, though, every wart treatment is about equally successful at about 60 to 70% success. Various treatments range from the topical treatments that were mentioned versus freezing warts. You can put various destructive agents on them. You can laser warts. You can use something called charming them off, which is not what we usually do in the dermatology office, but it's a lot of folklore to that. But all told, even surgery on warts is about 60 to 70% effective. The wart virus can be located out in the skin, distant from where the actual wart is. That area may not be turned on at the time. But if you're successful in treating a wart, there's about a 30% recurrence rate still, because your body is susceptible to that wart virus. And so you have to do things also to help stimulate your body to fight that virus off.
So this is something you get, some kind of a virus, is that right? That sort of stays with you?
It's a human papillomavirus, and the virus's goal is to stay alive, so it gets into the skin, and if it gets in a susceptible individual in a good enough quantity, then it goes into the skin cells and makes the skin cells grow, mm-hmm. and that's what you see as the wart. And it's only in the upper layers of skin, no matter how deep or whatever it feels or looks. It's only in the epidermis, and so most of the treatments are aimed at kind of peeling off that epidermis, kind of like you would get with a bad blister. And that's what a lot of the treatments do, is they induce a blister that peels off the epidermis and takes that wart with it.
Is this something to worry about? I mean, is this something to, I need to get rid of that, or I mean, will it lead to something more serious, or is it just something that you want to get rid of because it's bothersome?
Well, most common warts are just a nuisance thing, but they do spread, and you can spread them to yourself, you can spread them to others, and by direct contact. There are some types of warts, human papillomavirus strains, that can be have cancer-causing potential, and it's more important. And these are usually in more sensitive areas, and so those types of warts need to be screened for.
What about cysts? And I've had people mention that certain cysts are just nuisance. They're not malignant or anything, and as long as it doesn't bother you, don't worry about it. Are they cousins to warts? I mean, is it a virus also?
No, warts are just growths that grow off of various portions or segments of the hair follicle or pore. And most skin cysts, epidermal cysts, are totally harmless, but they can be a real nuisance. If the cyst ruptures below the skin, then you can get a large irritation response where you get a lot of drainage and tenderness and redness. And again, just a nuisance, but that's a real nuisance when that happens. And the only way to cure one of those is to cut out the little lining and sac of the cyst to remove it. And even when you do that, there's a small recurrence rate associated with that, but those can be cured and they're not viral.
Is that something that's more just an irritant to get rid of it?
Yeah, almost everybody gets a cyst or two, and yeah, they're just more of a nuisance or irritant thing. And if they bug you, you know, if they bother someone, I tell them, let's take it out. If it doesn't bother them, I say, leave it be.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Cuttine. How are you today?
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask the doctor, what is the best ointment or treatment for milia? Those whiteheads that stay in your skin and they just, you know, I've been treated, they come to the surface, and but they just stay there. They don't come on out.
Okay. Let's find out.
Well, milia, first, you know, milia are common, and they're not dangerous, of course. They're a nuisance thing, and they look a lot more superficial than they really are. So milia look like they're right there, and you can just pop them out, but really it usually requires some opening of the skin surface to get rid of them. They're thought to be caused by some kind of a blockage at the surface, and that leads to a little backup of skin and oil material that leads to these little white bumps. Exfoliating treatments are the things that help to treat them. Things like Retin-A and alpha hydroxy acids, salicylic acid, acne kind of treatments can help keep the skin from getting blocked, but nothing reliably totally prevents them from happening.
What about the one that's, I can't think of the name, it's like tetra something or other?
Tetracycline?
Yes.
Tetracycline is an antibiotic, and it's more for inflammatory type of acne, the red, kind of red bumps. So if you, these little bumps are not really inflammatory, so it doesn't do much for those. Some people will do superficial chemical peels to help get rid of them. A lot of times just extraction, like one of the estheticians in our U-Medi Spa will just open up all the little guys and get them out of there. But most people who are prone to those will develop more. You have to examine your skincare routine to make sure you're not putting anything on your face that's causing them.
No, I don't think I am. How about, you said that you could have the procedure done?
Well, you can have, it's called an extraction procedure. It's
no,
kind
no,
of
no, I'm not talking about that.
A chemical
I'm talking
peel?
About the, it's like a mask or something.
Well, there's some chemical peels that you can do, and basically that exfoliates the skin surface and helps unblock the surface so that these things can open up and come out.
Okay, and if you're older, does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. It just depends on what you want to go through to get rid of them.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. You mentioned something, and I know I shouldn't ask this, but I think most of us, when we see something on our you know, face, or that's where you're going to see it most, your first tendency is to try to pop it, because sometimes it's uncomfortable. I mean, those things are sore sometimes. Is that the worst thing you can do, or is that a good thing to do?
Well, usually it's a bad thing to do, because most of these things are oriented around a pore. And a pore is like a tunnel that goes down to the deeper portions of the skin. So whenever you're squeezing something, you're usually pushing 3 to 4 times more stuff down deep and causing more inflammation that sets you up for more of a scarring kind of process. So I generally recommend you not squeeze things. Let them either run their course, or if you want them opened up, at least check with somebody about that.
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm at the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. I'm the only dermatologist there, and you know, you can call our office. Our number is 867-8220, and the U-Medi Spa is located adjacent and connected to our office, and we do things that help improve your skin health as well as cosmetic things, we try to keep it in a more relaxing atmosphere than your typical medical office, so you should be fairly comfortable when you're there.
Do you have to have a physician recommend that they go to see you, or can somebody who has a problem just call and make an appointment?
No, anyone can just call in and make an appointment, either at our office or at the U-Medi Spa.
Okay, 867-8220?
Correct, and the spa number is 867-8225.
All right, Dr. Albert Cuttine with us this morning. He is a dermatologist with the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Are you in the old location or the new one?
I'm in the old location.
Okay, soon to move. Boy, that new building is huge.
It is. In the first quarter of next year, we'll all be there.
Okay, so right now you're over on Highland.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Albert Katine with us from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bart.
Have a great day.